Welcome to Focus on the Beer. I'm your host, Ryan Hannigan, and with me is my co-host, Josh Howard, and we're here to talk about craft beer here in Colorado.
Alrighty, let's jump into this. Welcome to Focus on the Beer. I'm Ryan Hannigan. I'm here with Josh Howard.
Hello.
And we have our newest contributor to Focus on the Beer, Katie Black, is here.
Hi, everybody.
She has been doing pretty much the crazy duty of putting together all of the events that happen in Colorado Springs, which I don't know how you do that.
Yeah. The Drink Local Maven.
Didn't know what I was getting myself into. No. No, it's a great scene. I'm happy to be here.
Well, cool. Well, so this is sort of a little recap on Collaboration Fest. Josh and Katie were able to go. I had a five-day-old, and
soon
was not able to pull away. Yeah, soon 5-year-old. That's gonna be scarier. That's gonna be much, much scarier. So we figured we'd all bring a bunch of beers and just talk about Collaboration Fest, and then it is Colorado Craft Beer Week this week. We're recording it. Oh, this might come out this week. We'll see. I gotta figure out if I have time to edit it.
Yeah, so cheers to that. I mean,
I'm up at weird times of the night, so why not?
I'm awake, just as well edit, I guess.
So Colorado Craft Beer Week, tomorrow, we're recording this on the 19th, just so you guys are dating it. So if we talk about the Colorado Pint Day that's happening, maybe this will actually happen. This will come out before the people go to those things. I see people are already like pacing out their days trying to figure out where they can get the most glasses possible, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I get that they're a buck a piece, but I have so many glasses that, I want one. I'm probably going to go get one, but I don't need two.
Some places are not a dollar a piece. Some places are like $6 a piece. Wow. There's some places where it's $12 for a pint and the glass.
Just one.
Just one glass and one pint. $12.
Just one place.
Can we name names? I want to name names. Let's shame some people.
No.
A shaming culture. Let's make it happen now.
Hopefully it's all in the sake of donations.
Well, the thing is that
I hope so too.
Yeah, and I think that is what's happening. The cost of a beer $6 to $7. The cost of the glass, it's about $2 to $3 a glass is what they are actually paying for the glasses. So at that point, you're like looking at that going like, all right, they got to pay their employee too, and it sort of makes sense.
Yeah. But I don't get why everyone else would be doing it for a buck. Then is that just kind of what the guild is suggesting they do with it?
I don't know. I don't know if there's a suggestion.
I think it is a dollar for most places are suggesting it.
Okay.
But I think what they've done is they've taken they have to buy the glasses. The purchase they're right. Using that as their donation, and then if people want to pay the extra dollar to get the glass, they can
a little bit
either
there.
Recoup it with, like, you know. It's what, 30% of the glass or something like that? That's not bad, but...
On the flip side, there's one place in town that's giving them away for free with a purchase of a pint.
Who's that?
Bristol.
Oh. That's where I went last year to get mine. Yeah.
I went to Red Leg last year, and I know I'm already scoping out where I'm going because I'm trying to avoid the crowds.
We will be at, because we have a newborn, we will be at Goat Patch at noon.
Same. See you there.
Because the crowd probably won't be crazy. It's at noon on a Wednesday. Like, it's going to be the couple diehard beer people that are like, oh, you have the glasses?
Yeah.
And then...
So me.
Us our my wife and I and our little baby.
We're outing Katie here.
Hey, at least I get to meet Teddy.
It'll be me too, yeah. You will be able to meet Teddy.
I, however, will be up at Pike's Peak at some point in the afternoon once I clear all my meetings in the morning.
And they're starting at 11. They've got the earliest slot.
I know.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I'm sure some people will be hitting them first or early. I hope they don't get cleaned out because of it. Y'all better leave me a glass.
Or else. I don't need more than one. Unless we need a backup for breakage.
Well, so I had two last year.
Not a horrible idea.
That I had picked up. I picked up one at Bristol, and I think I got one at Cerberus or something like that. And I did break one. I was in the dishwasher, and all of a sudden I pulled it out. I'm like, oh, that's only half a glass right now. It's too bad.
Proud to say I still have mine.
I still have one. It's in great shape, but...
I think mine is shoved in the back of my cabinet so it doesn't get used.
Do not touch.
Lessens the chance of it being broken.
All right, so I'm putting together a list, a sort of lineup. I've mixed around the beers that we all brought here.
Read them off.
Oh, God, there's a lot of them. So
what do we have for them, Bob?
We have, who's this? So this is The Watchmen. This is
Renhouse, I think.
Renhouse and Odd 13.
Okay, ooh.
That's nice. Brewed at Renhouse, so I brought it back from Phoenix.
Oh, okay. I was wondering, because it's a 16-ounce, which is not the format that Odd 13 will do. They do primarily 12-ounce cans, I want to say.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got the good old 85 and a 55, Distill and Weldworks.
Collaboration beers in honor of Collaboration Fest.
Exactly. That's a good good stuff, man. And then thanks to our friends up in Greeley, not Weldworks.
They're still our friends, though.
Yeah, they're good people.
Let's not be wrong.
Yeah. We've got a couple County Fair cobblers. Blueberry and Lemon from Wiley Roots and Cranberry and Raspberry.
And those are very recent releases.
Yeah, I want to say the Blueberry and Lemon is one they actually had to they re-released it because it sold so quickly that they re-released this one. Cranberry Raspberry, I don't think I ever heard of this one, but
they had some issues with the blizzard too. I think affected maybe that might have been what this something was something like that.
Yeah. But these ones are like it's like a shopping list of what's in these. It's ridiculous. Blueberries or milkshake sour IPA with pureed blueberries and lemons, graham cracker, cinnamon, vanilla, and lactose, dry hopped with Vic's Secret. Just like, okay, that's too much.
Whenever people say Vic's Secret, I always half expect that sentence to end with like Vic's Vapor Rub or something like that. I'm like,
Well, but so Vic's Secret, is that named after Victoria's Secret or what is the like?
I know it's a New Zealand hawk. I know that's it is. All I got.
Do these New Zealand people just have like a fixation with like Victoria's Secret or something? I don't know.
Maybe really Victoria's Secret was named after.
A really profound sense of humor.
We're going to have a lot of lactose in the middle here. So then Katie brought this Southern Grist Brewing, which they make some really good I've had their like greens series,
yep,
which is
they
like,
had a few on those in tap when I was there.
Those are they make them look like it's like salad, but it's like tons of hops and things. They're really good. Hmm. This one's a lactose sour ale with orange and strawberry puree. Wow. Okay.
Goodness.
It was a very impressive brewery. That's probably one of my favorites when I was in Nashville.
They do great stuff. I've had a couple things from them, and they've all been just fantastic. We have the, I don't know, always in the news, Founders Brewing, for probably the wrong reasons, Blushing Monk. We talked about their whole lawsuit and everything, right?
Yeah, I think we talked about it, and they actually put out something last week, or a week and a half ago, where they basically... you know, finally said, hey, we've got to say something about this.
Good.
And they said that, you know, this is all in the court right now because some of the things alleged by this employee apparently didn't happen. Of course, everyone's going to say that, whether it happened or not. But, you know, they say, we've got proof that some of these things didn't happen.
Oh, well.
And that things were handled in a different manner. So who knows where that
we'll
all
see.
Is going. But, you know, we're in a culture where, you know, the first accusation tends to be, you know, I'm just going to, you know, Jussie Smollett.
Okay. Oh, jeez.
Three different versions of the story.
We're going political on this one. I'm going to bleep everything out here. All right. Everyone drank that first one. We started off with a brewed IPA from a brewery that I won't name because it really wasn't that great.
Tasted better than it smelt.
It did, but it definitely tasted like maybe it was mishandled by either whoever bought it or whoever sold it. So
that's...
I would guess it's probably after
I'm out of practice.
Right into the table.
Whoa, the color on this. Have you had this one yet?
Yes.
Okay.
I will say it's not the freshest. It's not overly, but it's hopefully still tasty. But two of my favorites, I mean.
That's awesome. So I had some beers. I was in Pittsburgh in January, and I had picked up some beers at Dancing Gnome there. And I had tasted one with a couple people like right when I got home, and they were green and gross. Popped one open last night. I'm like, whoa! All right, this needed like a month in the fridge, and it's like perfect. So sometimes these super hoppy beers are so vegetal when they start off that they're almost better once they mellow just a little bit.
Even, and then another good example of that one was even the Wiley Roots Cerberus collab.
Oh yeah.
I mean that. You know, a month or so down the line, really kind of came into its own. But the initial fresh ones were pretty green.
It was pretty green, green salad-y.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's a tasty one.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was the Watchmen, the Odd 13 Renhouse collab.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Collaboration Fest. First, this is the
fifth year
for Collaboration Fest.
Yep.
I'd been every other year. I'm sort of sad that I missed it, but
I'm glad you did, because it gave me the opportunity to go for the first time.
But I almost bought a ticket and went. It was my birthday on Saturday, so I was like, I should go, but I was like, it's not worth it. I stayed home and just drank beer at home.
We had a really good time. We got there early and helped pour the media collaboration beer. And
how'd that turn out?
It was good. Someone had made a mistake in the logistics and had basically just set the keg out there with no ice in it.
Oh, jeez.
So they finally got it on ice about 20 minutes before they wanted to start pouring it. So it was just nothing but foam. Yep. And we had to sit there and fight that thing to get pitchers, you know, of actual beer.
It's the welcome beer, too. Yeah. So, oh, jeez.
So, I mean, and this was, you know, about 1:30-ish.
Okay.
And 2 o'clock was when the first round of VIPs came in. So, yeah, we still managed to get them all filled before they even released them. So
we got crafty.
Yeah, we had a butter knife trying to hold foam back
in a coffee lid, trying to.
It was
a team effort.
It was amazing.
It was a collaboration.
It definitely was.
So it was a pre-prohibition pilsner.
Yes.
Okay.
They said it was a pre-prohibition lager.
Okay. Lager.
But yeah, I think it tasted like a pilsner to me, so I thought it was good.
It was good beer.
Yeah, didn't even go flat after all that drama.
Was it interesting? Was it just a straight up lager, like nothing crazy?
Nothing crazy.
Really?
I don't know what the prohibition part of it was.
I think it just has to do with the malt bill that they use. They probably have to add. I don't know either. To be perfectly honest with you.
Come on, Josh, you're the beer nerd here.
Yeah.
All righty. What does the internet tell us?
Should have researched this before this
game. Yeah, had I known we were going to be asking BJCP judging questions, I'd have brought my guide. It's actually in my phone, I guess, if it really came down to it, I could look it up.
There we go. Coors Batch 19, I think, is what they say it is. Here's what BJCP says. Grainy sweet corn.
Yeah, it's probably got something to do with the amount of corn.
Yeah, let's see.
History. There you go. That's probably what you want.
Version of Pilsner brewed in the U.S. by immigrant German brewers. So basically, it's early Budweiser.
Yeah, they had to adapt their recipes to work with native hops and malt in the U.S.
Style died out after Prohibition, but resurrected by home brewers in the 90s. Few commercial versions are made, so the style remains mostly a homebrew phenomenon. 6-row barley with 20-30% flaked corn or rice to dilute the excessive protein levels. Native American hops such as Cluster, Cascade. No, modern hops like Cascade are inappropriate. Okay.
Yeah. So, for those who don't know, 6-row versus 2-row barley, most beer uses 2-row barley, highly fermentable, really easy to use, low starch or high starch count, lower protein count, whereas 6-row, much higher protein and not as high a starch. It requires more modification to use, a little bit harder to work with. And so most home brews and in fact, most commercial brews are going to use 2-row as their base malt. 6-row is, you know, almost considered a specialty grain to some extent.
Yeah.
Because
it
of
tastes
the
so
way
much
it
better,
works.
Though. I love 6-row.
It's a cool ingredient to use, but definitely harder to work with.
Yeah. Definitely seen people that, you know, home brewers going, oh, I'm going to make this all with 6-row. It's like, have fun. But yeah, like if you're looking for something, if you want to try to find something like this, Anchor's California Lager, Colorado, Coors's Batch 19. I've never heard of the other one. Little Harpeth Chicken Scratch. Interesting. But I know Anchor's California Lager, which in the news again as well, we talked about it last time. They were trying to unionize and got it approved.
They did.
Which is cool. Mm-hmm. So to all those breweries that are looking to sell out to the big guys, watch out. Your employees will unionize. I don't know if that's a bad thing or not, but
it depends, I guess.
That
I mean,
Watchman beer's good.
Yeah.
There's still more in the can.
Well, yeah. There's six
beers. But there's also six more cans.
So what in years past, the things that have been like the standouts have been like there was that Pimm's Lager from Liquid Mechanics in years back.
Yep.
Was there anything crazy like that that was like a cocktail type thing this year?
There was one, and once again, I highlighted it in our coverage.
I didn't read it.
That's fine.
I looked at the pictures.
Yeah. I understand.
He's preparing for a child.
You couldn't attend yourself. You didn't want to have that trauma of not seeing it. But yeah, there was a... and I can't remember what the base style is. I want to say it was... Was it a barley wine? Anyway, it had been in three different bourbon barrels. And then a barrel with botanicals. And so this thing had this super vermouth-like flavor to it. And really good. Yeah, it was from Banded Oak and Odyssey Beer Works.
Ah.
And it was a barley wine, English barley wine. So yeah, it was a really neat collab. And frankly, after that, I just kind of went on a little barley wine kick and sought out every single one I could find and tried them. But I think, you know, at least for myself, Katie, and a couple other people I talked to, everybody really, really liked the Paradox collaboration with Purpose.
Yeah.
That modern farmhouse ale.
And that had a lot of buildup. I mean, you know, it was well advertised, obviously, from a local perspective, but sure. It didn't disappoint at all.
No, it was fantastic beer. Just, you know, lightly tart, super drinkable, good flavor. There's, you know, really nothing wrong with it.
I believe is to be released to the tap room as well, or no?
I would assume there's probably some left that they'll have.
Which
at
one?
The tap room.
The Paradox one.
The Paradox collab.
I hope so.
I would think so.
I was there. I was there
like
for the brew day, so
something.
I want to.
Yeah. Well, you would know.
Well, not if it's not in the next week. I haven't seen it yet.
You got to be hyper focused when it's.
Yeah.
We got 30 plus breweries in town. I can only do so much.
It's ridiculous.
I'm going to get ragged on for not knowing my judging stuff. I'm going to rag on you for not knowing the event stuff.
Fair enough.
But yeah, otherwise, you know, there were some, like the IPL that Brass and Cerberus and Deuces did was really, really good.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was one of the first beers we had because we walked up because Woody was just hanging out there behind the booth. We hadn't had a beer yet right here. Actually, I take that it was the second beer we had because...
Captain Crunch?
No, the lady from Crooked Stave waved us over first, and that was the first beer we had of the day.
That's good.
So
yeah, the IPL, I heard that the like Eternal Triad or whatever, IPL. Mm-hmm. Colorado Springs was pretty well represented this year.
Yeah.
So Atrevida was
like
there.
Atrevida wasn't there.
Well, but they had a beer, though.
Yeah, in fact, it was right next to Deuces Wild there. And that was the Making Noise beer. That
oh, okay.
Collaborated on
the Pink Boot Society.
That was a different one. This was just the Making Noise. There was a separate one with Pink Boots too that I think they were involved with. Yeah. So there's two or three of them. But yeah, if you scroll down a little bit more on that post, you went too far.
Yeah, Fossil
just a
was
little,
there.
Not all the way, but they had
Fossil and Cerberus, which
and Cerberus
they released
job.
That actually today.
Today, yeah, Cerberus had it on tap today.
And that was, so they used the peach sour barrels from Fossil and then made this Brut IPA and used Nelson Sauvin hops, I think it was, in it.
Oh, geez, so it's just a peach bomb.
No.
Oh, really?
I mean, it was just super duper dry. You know, a little ribbon of hop running through it and then this little sour note and this hint of peach. Like... Everything just super subtle in this really dry beer. It was
awesome.
Had a lot going on.
It was rather complex.
Yeah. It was good.
I noticed was everything tested for alcohol content?
Yeah. So that was kind of a neat thing is somebody had gone around and there was these little things hanging off of each of the signs that showed the ABV of every single beer. And I forget.
Oh, Firmly. That's David from Caution.
Yeah,
that's his new startup. Basically, doing like almost like mobile lab stuff. I think for people.
Yeah. Which is it's a cool concept and something that needs to happen because I mean not everyone can have a lab on site. You know, being able to have that testing done is pretty cool.
I think that's really smart for a beer festival. If anything, I mean.
Know what you're getting into.
Well,
you're
know
going around
exactly
trying
what's
a bunch
it.
Of things. It's if you have this option versus this option, and
Yeah.
You're going to choose a lower ABV?
My first eight beers were 9%, and the second eight were 12%.
Well, and it's sometimes you go and they're like, oh, this is a 12% beer, and you drink it, and you're like, no, this can't be. Like, come on. And that's really sort of nice to go, oh, 5.15. All right, cool. You know, there it is, or 9.3 or whatever.
By the way, my first eight were not 9, and that was just an example.
I bet they were.
They might have been. At least the first two or three were 9%.
The Hazy Imperial IPL was 9%. I can see that behind Woody.
Yeah.
You would not have known that.
Man, Woody's getting Woody's getting nice and burly there, looking there. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know where that goat head came from, but...
I didn't remember the
Vikings. So I've never been one of these people that dresses up for beer festivals. I don't get it.
I don't get it either, but kudos to the people who want to do it. I mean, they make for great pictures. So y'all keep dressing up for beer festivals.
I just feel good on you. I know I'm going to get drunk, so I don't want to be wandering around in this weird costume in a city that I might not know exactly where I'm going.
The only ones that I've dressed up for were the old school Tour de Fat.
Mm. Okay, yeah, that's a
that's
little...
different. That's to be expected.
That was like you dress up for the festival itself, and then, oh, yeah, New Belgium's here. There's beer here, yeah. But, like, the people that dress up for GABF, I'm like, you know you're going to get poked and prodded and punched the entire night.
We actually noticed a lack of pretzel necklaces.
Oh, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. I was shocked. They came out later.
Oh, really? Yeah, I didn't see any people with those on. But, you know, they had some... Yeah, there's that picture of the really foamy beer. And for those of you who want to follow along with the picture stuff at home, just go to focusonthe.beer and check out our Collaboration Fest 2019 recap post. And you can see all of the fun pictures.
Yeah. Glasses look nice this year.
Yeah, they were nice, simple, not all blacked out like they were a couple years ago, and you couldn't take pictures out of them, but...
They learned that lesson.
Yeah, the ones last year were nice with the color stuff that they did, the three-color imprint, but these were real simple, just a globe with black print on it. Really nice, understated. Simple, easy. Yeah, it was... all in all, I think they did a fantastic job, as usual.
I may have an extra one, Ryan, if you want it.
I don't really need it. You may have an extra one. This is so now it comes out why she's actually kicked out.
Joe says he has mine.
Oh, yeah, because she thought she'd lost her glass. And why is that, Katie?
Enjoyed myself.
Hey, there's beer. That's why they're testing everything.
There's beer and there's one food line.
Yeah, and I think that was the like I said, it was a valid complaint because one food line, which usually was about 8 to 10 people deep every time I looked at it, and finally I just said, you know what, nuts to it. I've got to go get something. And so I did that. But yeah, and then you look at the prices, and it was like $8 to $11 for things.
You're like Coors Field.
It's not a cheap fest to attend anyway. It's not saying it's not worth it, but on top of...
A VIP ticket after fees and everything was $93, I want to say, $94.
The DD ticket was $45.
And they just got food and a T-shirt,
I'm not
probably?
Sure.
I don't think they got a T-shirt. I think they literally just got a food voucher and a tip of the hat. You know, it was... And they weren't officially selling DD tickets, but I guess if you reached out to Two Parts, they would, offer you the option of a DD ticket. But $45 was beyond the pale. I mean, that makes your Uber seem really reasonable.
If you're Ubering up from Colorado Springs, too.
You can split an Uber to the Springs for that.
Yeah, for less than, I don't know, with the construction these days. That's the tough thing about these festivals is that as they've gotten more and more popular, the price has gone up crazy.
Well, I think there's probably a function. I mean, the fact that this is held at the Hyatt Regency, I'm sure that ballroom isn't cheap.
Oh, no, it can't
And
be.
All of that. So I can see a certain amount of justification for it. And with that ticket you got, I think you got a hat, a pin, a glass, and you got a ticket for some of the food, which was, like I said, a little on the spendy side, too. So I guess if you start subtracting each of those things as you go along, it kind of makes a little more sense. But it was still on the high side for a, 4-hour beer fest. Or was it even 4 hours? Yeah, two to six. Yeah, so 4 hours for VIPs, 3 hours for regular.
Yeah, I guess these days I pick and choose my beer fests a little bit more almost not based on the breweries that are going to be there, but like location and everything. Like I was just looking, they just announced Rapids and Grass again, June 29th.
Always the same weekend as my anniversary.
I know. It's a great, you could just celebrate your anniversary in Buena Vista and sneak off for a couple hours to a beer festival. It's going to be our kids' first beer festival, too, because and grandpa live right there, so
hey,
we can have them hold him.
Solid plan. So what are we drinking now? This is one of the
Wiley Roots. One of the cobblers.
The Wiley Roots blueberry and lemon.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I get straight blueberry right off the nose on that thing.
That's good.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even tasted it yet, but it smells incredible.
The graham cracker comes through pretty nicely, actually. These ones, we've had a couple of these in the past, and the lactose and like just the sheer sweetness sometimes overpowers everything.
Yeah.
And this is a little, the blueberries was a good thing, especially with lemon, because it's a little tartness. It needs
that tartness to take the edge off the sweet, which this one does well. It's a nice balance. I like it.
Speaking of lemon, one of my favorite at the Collab Fest was the...
The Molly's New Terrain.
New Terrain and Molly's. It was a yogurt beer with
nice.
Raspberry and lemon, I believe.
I forget what the fruit was, but yeah, we do mention it there at some point. Yeah, right there.
Yogurt and raspberries is what you said?
A dessert Berliner Weiss with yogurt and raspberries from New Terrain and Molly's.
Interesting.
What was the most unique beer you tried?
Good or bad? I think the most unique good was that barley wine that had that vermouth type thing going for it. I mean, there's always the one little gimmicky thing where they're going to throw something in your beer, and there was this Captain Crunch beer where they throw in a mitful of Captain Crunch.
That was fun for the novelty. It was a little sweet for me, personally, that beer, but...
Yeah, the sweet beer didn't need more sweet on top of it, because Captain Crunch is basically just sweetened corn at the end of the day.
But it was an IPA.
It was.
What? God. All right. That's...
Sweet IPA.
I'm so pissed off with these. Like, everyone that's doing all these crazy, like, flavored things, they're making them, like, double IPAs. Like, that friggin' makeable pecan thing I brought you. It's a double IPA. It's like, why don't you put this in, like, a porter or a blonde or something where, like...
I'm not going to hate on it because it was maple.
Right. But these pastry IPAs, I don't understand. But if you're going to do, like, a pastry stout, that makes a little bit more sense. Profile wise,
I think they can hold up to sweet. Those in particular weren't super sweet in my opinion, but they had the maple flavor strong. But I totally agree. I feel like there's no clear line on
styles.
Did
you try that
anymore.
Other maple beer that I sent you the picture of?
Which one was it?
It was like two down from the yogurt beer. There was someone with a maple raspberry.
Yes, something. I did, but I don't recall.
Okay.
It wasn't that memorable.
Yeah.
It wasn't maple enough, I guess.
And that's probably fair. I mean, it was real subtle when I tried it. But I saw it was maple beer. I'm like, hey,
my level of maple is twice above what most people are.
Please hit me over the head
so
with
maple.
So
you want them to be using like fenugreek to like make it taste like maple, but...
But not sweetness,
not actually has the sweetness. Okay.
High standards, apparently.
It's like that fake maple syrup flavor.
Oh, yeah.
Maple extract. That's it. Clear.
I use nothing but fenugreek in my... Well, not nothing but. I use fenugreek in my chicken tikka.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I use it when I don't have maple syrup to put in.
Oh, I don't put maple syrup in.
Oh, it's actually really good.
Does fenugreek taste like maple syrup?
Yeah.
It absolutely does. Smells like it, too.
Yeah.
Mind blown, I guess.
Welcome.
Go out, go down to Penzi Spices, get yourself some ground fenugreek.
It's going on my list right now.
Whoa.
You're going to be putting that in everything by the time it's done.
All right, so the cranberry and raspberry one is very happy to see us.
At least it's not on the carpet.
So these arrived actually today.
Oh wow.
And the one I didn't bring was one of their strudel ones, the wheat wines.
I have the maple ones.
It wasn't the maple one. It was a coffee and walnut one.
Oh, dang.
But Josh doesn't like coffee, so I was like, I'm going to leave this at home.
No, it's a
solid
move.
We did have this conversation.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, Darcy will like this more, and I think we'll just drink this at like 4 a.m. when the baby's up.
You know there's going to be another strudel beer, and then I'll get my chance to try it, but that was a solid move.
Yeah, I wonder what the next... I mean, the strudel ones, it's so ridiculous, but they're so fun, though, too. What's wrong?
I was going to say, something keeps, like, vibrating.
Vibrating.
Nope. I don't hear it.
Oh, did you maybe run your arm into the...
I don't think so.
The screen thing?
No. Is it Ryan's beard touching the microphone? Yeah.
This is the worst kind of ASMR. We're so sorry, everybody. He's literally rubbing his beard on the pop filter.
Welcome to the ASMR portion of our show.
This is why we don't do video, kids. Yet. But soon.
So I have to ask, did you try the ramen beer?
Oh, there's a ramen beer. Oh, I heard
about
this one.
It was a ramen golden ale.
I did, and it was... Okay.
Who made the ramen one? It was... was it Why the Roots?
I don't think so.
No,
I can look it up real fast. You know what? I was kind of excited to try something out there and different, but when I tasted it, it didn't really come through. It was Chain Reaction Strange Craft.
Okay.
And someone else I can't unfortunately see on my
phone. No, so that's who I saw. I saw it was I saw Zach, the owner of Chain Reaction, post up something about doing a ramen beer.
As a beer, it wasn't bad.
It was okay.
But I didn't...
You weren't getting ramen out of it, necessarily. I mean, I get that they probably threw it in there and it probably formed an extra starch. I did make it a point to go through and try all of the satis that were on tap. I tried all three of them. And the first question I asked is, so did you carbonate this? And two of them, you know, were, I think all of them actually, you know, were low or no carb, which is what you expect in a sati if you're doing it traditionally.
It's so, running through everything, I mean.
Yeah. Right? It was all, they were all really good. I was really happy with those. There were a couple that we tried along the way that were a little off. We're not going to name names on anything like that. But there were a couple beers that were just kind of like, I'm not sure I would have served it.
Off flavors? Infected?
Yeah, there was one fruit beer that was really like acetic and shouldn't have been. And it was just another one that just kind of was underwhelming, seemed thin. But by and large, I mean, a bunch of great beers.
There were some really inventive beers. And then also some really good simple beers.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those simple beers were my favorites, you know.
Yeah, Iron Bird, for instance, was up there with Elevation.
Elevation, yeah.
And it was just a nice little English mild. And it was perfect for what it was.
That's great.
And that's, you know, just this great little easy collab. Nothing almost fancy. Like, we did this well. I'm like, that's awesome.
I almost look for those ones, though, too.
Yeah.
Because you know there's going to be the crazy stuff.
Yeah. And there was a Butcher Knife collab.
Oh, with Crow Hop.
Crow Hop, yes. That did a very, very classic Berliner that was just clean and really good. And they had the Woodruff syrup there if you wanted it. And if not. And then one of my favorites in terms of IPAs naturally was Outer Range and Casey.
Yeah. That one and then the Weldworks Cerebral.
That sounds
double
like
IPA.
Just a rough one there. You know, Casey and Outer Range, like,
yeah,
two awful breweries, right?
Horrible breweries.
Speaking of Casey, I saw a post today. They're looking to hire a full-time head brewer.
Saw that.
So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I wonder what happened to Troy.
Oh, I'm sure he probably just wants to be more into the, you know, blending side of things,
or just to be the face, you know.
Yeah,
that's the hard part is the. Once you get really, really, really busy, you want to actually be able to, like, enjoy that and work on building the brand.
Yeah, you got to have boots on the ground, so it makes sense.
They're small. Their stuff's good. I find with some of their stuff it's too acidic for me, but...
Well, it could be a good opportunity to get something different in there, I guess. Not different necessarily, but fresh eyes, I guess.
With Casey, they don't want to alienate their, like, hordes and hordes of...
Yeah.
Loyal followers.
I'm sure they got a pretty solid formula.
they have a reputation to stand up to, but at the same time.
Yeah. You're going to make this base, you're going to make it in bulk, and then we're going to throw it all in barrels with all of the fruit.
All right.
So what's next on the hit list?
Oh gosh, we're just cruising through these. Southern Grist. One of the Katie's special ones she brought. That's awesome. I like that can. That's a nice can.
You can have it.
We're just going to recycle it. I don't keep cans. I have too many glassware and bottles in my house anyways.
Gotta draw the line somewhere.
Whoa. Holy cow. I'm like slightly stuffed up and the orange like just popped out. I'm like, whoa, all right.
Oh.
It's like there.
Yeah. I didn't even have to get within like a foot of my nose. I'm like, oh yeah, there it is. Look at all that orange. That said, we probably should say something about the ultra happy cranberry raspberry.
God, that one's good.
From Wiley Roots.
I haven't even gotten there yet.
It was really good.
Katie's the bottleneck at the end there. It was really good.
Katie doesn't know, but it's really good.
It's really good, but it was actually, I almost liked it more than the blueberry lemon because it was just sort of, the cranberry and raspberry just sort of blended really nicely together.
It's almost a solid combination.
It just, and it.
I mean, it's pretty.
Wow. It is pretty.
This is like straight nectarine. Is that the word I'm looking for? What's the little like mandarin oranges? Mandarin? Yeah.
Cuties.
Like the cutie. Yeah, the cuties.
Sorry.
That's what it is. That
I
yep,
only
yep,
did
there
that
it is.
Once.
No, I think that's definitely. We can look for that sound wave back in the ways. Yeah. Oh yeah. See there, it looks just like a spring right there. Let's scan back.
I swear I've only done it once.
You've only been caught once.
No, because I noticed I did it.
I can't tell if there's any more. We don't cut any of these. Just straight free forms all the way through.
Yeah. Title of this episode is now
Katie's
listen to
ruining
Katie.
Everything.
Listen to Katie hit the microphone.
Katie ruins everything.
It's a whole new podcast.
Katie gets kicked out of Collab Fest.
And then the podcast.
Kindly asked to leave. After they closed.
That's not bad. That's more than just saying like, hey, we can tell that you have enjoyed your time here. Yeah. Can you enjoy your time on the other side of these doors? That would be great.
And in your defense, nobody would have known except you told Mike Merriman on Facebook.
I did.
Literally nobody would have known.
You know what? I would have defended myself and say, I didn't drink that much, but that move told me I did.
How much have you had today? Well, I was kind of drunk. I engaged on Facebook when I shouldn't have. I fell over.
I got kicked out.
Yeah. She
kindly asked to leave.
She hit stage 3 there.
The kindly asked to leave point, yeah.
Didn't fall over for the record.
Yeah, so, that's stage 4.
That's stage
so we're
4
clear.
Didn't make it there.
That's a good thing. I've had times where I was at the Brewer's Rendezvous in Salida, and at that time, girlfriend, now my wife, was tubing the river with her friends and then meeting me at the park, and then we were all going to drive home. Well, so they get there, and then I think the river, it took them less time than they thought, and so I pop out of the festival and go say hi and have a sandwich with them, and then I'm 3 sheets to the wind, like I'm done for. And so I jump in the river and float on a tube down the river, flip the tube into one of the rapids. I'm pretty much blacked out at this point. I don't really remember a whole lot of this.
How he's not dead.
Exactly.
He survived.
So her friend that took me, which was like, I'll go with him to make sure he's okay, lost me because I like flipped and like swam to shore, hopped the fence, jumped, went back through the beer festival, kept drinking.
Well, you sobered up at that point.
This is how bad it was. I was going in and out of the beer festival, not through the gates, just like hopping fences. It was bad. So, I've been where you've been, and it's
no, that was way beyond where I've been.
Yeah. I was gonna say, big beers is usually the real barometer for that sort of thing. I remember last year, not this year's, but last year's.
We were pretty tame this year.
Yeah, I decided to go and try all of the Utopias. They had like variants of Utopias. And like 3 of those, and then I'm like, you know what I need to do next? I need to go to River North and try all of their 18% ridiculous, God mode stouts. And yeah.
So this is why your first 9 beers at GlabFest at 9% or whatever didn't seem like anything.
Yeah, literally nothing will touch me at this point after going to big beers for a few years.
So at the end of the festival last year, I come back to the room and I open the door and Josh is face down on the floor.
He thought I was dead.
Fully clothed, and I was just like...
Did he poke you with, like, a stick?
I think I just walked over him, and I was like, are you okay? And you're like, I think as soon as the door opened, you're like, I'm okay. And I'm like, all right, doesn't look like it, but...
For the most part, I was. There was a couple years before that where I watched him in the coat check line at Big Beers. He wasn't quite 4, but he was at 3.5, where equilibrium was kind of gone, and he was just kind of back and forth in line to get his coat.
Oh, yep.
Hey. We'll see you back at the room. We're going to have pizza.
You do a...
That just means you enjoyed yourself thoroughly at the beer festival.
It's tough. When they do beer festivals at like 10,000 feet, vertical feet,
It hits you a little harder.
It hits you very hard. This year, I like took it really easy. I left like an hour and a half early from the end of the festival. I was like, I'm done. I'm just going to go back and watch some football on TV. Like, I'm done. People were like texting me going, where are you? I'm like, I don't need the hangover tomorrow. Yeah.
We tried to avoid that by getting a ride back to Colorado Springs that night. We were like,
we still stopped at another brewery afterwards, though.
Oh, yeah. How was Resolute?
It was good. Sam wasn't working. I kind of felt bad about that, but the beers were good.
I just ate pizza.
I always enjoy my beer there. So.
You're just like, I don't need it anymore.
I was already embarrassed at that point. I'm like, I'm not drinking it anymore.
How'd you get back to the Springs, Dion and
Jared?
Jared.
Yeah.
That's how I know how much the DD tickets cost.
Oh,
because he looked into it. No. Oh. He didn't buy one. He just drove around Denver and waited for us.
It was considered. And then promptly rejected.
I'm so sorry, Jared. That...
Oh, he loved it.
Okay.
He went to Alternation and picked up some great beers. They had a big release that day. And
skip all the crowds, too, because everyone's at the festival.
Yeah. He loved it. He's like, I'll do it anytime. I'm like, good to know.
We found a DD.
Yeah.
No one here knows his last name, so we're good.
We won't say his last name. All right. We have Katie's favorite beer and a Founders beer. It's not your favorite beer.
It's not. It's the one that I rejected.
It's a good one to just finish up with, though, because it's a farmhouse pale ale.
This
from
is
Triv Brewing.
Good old Triv.
The Cosmic Crypt. Or do we want to do Blushing Monk? We probably should do Blushing Monk.
Why don't we try the True, and then we can almost finish out with the Blushing Monk.
The Belgian. What's this one, like 14%?
It's a fruity Belgian. I mean, it's higher octane, but it's not bad.
Or you could just take this one home. Drink it at home.
I could do that. I do like farmhouse pale ales.
It's all yours.
Sweet.
So we only had 5 beers then. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
To be fair, that's probably better.
I can't count.
Yeah, people still have to drive at some point.
Oh, geez. Yeah, at some point. I have a.
Let's see. We talked about Collab Fest.
Collab Fest is done.
We talked about
Colorado Craft Beer Week.
Craft Beer Week. And
Pint Day.
What's next?
Festival season kicks off soon here. Feast of St. Arnold will probably be the first one here in June.
Can't wait for that one.
Well, before that, there'll be Big Brew Day, which is May 4th.
All right.
So because it's May the 4th, this year the Brew Brothers are doing Big Brew Day Star Wars themed.
Yes!
So
I'm so excited for that.
We're like, people show up, dress in costume, brew some beer.
Again, I will be. I might be there. I will not be in costume.
That's fair. We don't expect people to show up in costume, but we encourage it because we're going to give out like a prize for best costume. Because why not?
I'll be in costume.
And that'll be at Pike's Peak on May 4th.
I'll dress my baby as an Ewok, and then I'll be like...
That's the day before our anniversary.
Yub nub, y'all.
May 4th. So what's that? Is that Saturday?
That's a Saturday.
It is a Saturday, yeah.
Awesome.
And it'll be at Pike's Peak where we usually do it. The Brew Brothers always have our event there.
That's nice because you don't have to mash. It's so nice.
Yeah, so the thing we do there is this wort transformation thing where they basically mash a giant batch of beer, and then we tell people, go nuts on it beyond that point. You know, boil it for 3 hours and make a barley wine. We don't care. Hop it however you want. Use whatever yeast you want. Throw fruit in it. Whatever. And then we come back 3 months later. We used to do 1 month, but we figured we'd give people more time to really let it change. So we're going to do it instead of at our June meeting, we're going to wait till the August meeting and then do a people's choice of all those beers. So see who did the best job transforming. You know, everyone got the same product to start with.
Cool.
And then you change it and see who did the best job.
I think I'm going to throw cinnamon rolls in mine.
Knock yourself out.
All the pastry stouff. All the pastries.
IPAs. Just pastries, and then make it a pastry IPA stout.
There you go.
Sour IPA. Berliner Weiss.
Is that the junkyard dog of beers?
They call it smorgasbord.
Yeah. Suicide.
You could be onto something.
Isn't that what it's called?
Cafeteria plate.
Once through all the sodas.
If you've lived in Colorado Springs a long time, Furs Cafeteria beer. Just one of everything.
Yeah.
It's now at Walgreens, which is sad, but.
Yeah. The times, they are a-changing.
Alrighty. Or so
already changed.
Founder's Blushing Monk.
This is a raspberry Belgian.
It's very raspberry.
Mm-hmm. We've been on a
solid fruit kick today. Jeez, I feel like I got my like 6 servings of fruit today. Although that's the first one that's not like hazy. That's nice.
It's probably for the best since I ate pizza for lunch and dinner.
Is there another food group? I mean, fruit. Pizza is a food group.
Fruit beer.
I know you were scared to come on a podcast, but this is all we do.
Sign me up.
Yeah, it's essentially just drinking and bullshitting.
I can do that.
Sometimes we have a brewery on, too. And
then it's drinking and bullshitting with brewers.
Although, I did say, I do think the episode that came out today, the brass one, was a lot of fun because they're really going back to, like, traditional styles.
Mm-hmm.
Lots making of lagers. A lot of lagers, a lot of really traditional
They've
beers.
They've been killing it lately. I will say that.
Their beers have transformed from what they were when they first opened.
Well, new brewer will do that, and he's really got his stuff tight.
Yeah.
So to speak, you know? Really, doing lagers well is hard, and doing it well consistently the way he's doing it, you know, that's much to his credit. Really well done on their part.
It's too bad that people, you know, right now the haze craze is the big thing, because those are easy. I mean, you can throw freaking Lucky Charms in a beer and have a line around the block for...
You know, it's funny, too, because so that whole ridiculous hype machine that happened there, but you think just up the road at 105 West in Castle Rock...
They've been doing it for years.
They've been doing it for years to not near that level of hype because they're not canning it and trying to, you know, skirt copyright law.
Yeah, basically, they're trying to get sued.
Yeah, and they're doing the exact same up there with much less fanfare, and it's a good beer. It's, you know, it's a fun little gimmicky thing, but it's not a bad beer that they make. I'm certainly not going to pay scads of money or wait in line for hours to get...
I think I saw a can of it on eBay for $450.
And I assume that was an empty can, because you can't sell alcohol on eBay. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, it was empty. Empty wishes inside of there.
Yep.
No, but I mean, talking about that skirting copyright law, Wiley Roots has been doing that with their slush series. Which, if you haven't been up to Wiley Roots and had a slushy beer, I know it totally sounds crazy, but it's ridiculous. When you can get a 10% double IPA, pineapple double IPA in a slushy form on a hot day, it's like.
They're probably not pushing it now because nobody wants them in winter. But once it warms I guarantee you that's going to be back in
circulation. I think in April or May they're kicking it off. They just put out a little bit of something where they're going to kick those out. We went there right before the Weldworks Invitational last year. And got a chance to try the their pineapple double IPA slushy, bunch of other fun stuff that they're doing.
Yeah, took a tour, a whole 9 yards. A lot of fun.
Yeah, we're the only ones there. It was fun, too.
Yeah.
Really?
It was like a private crazy. Tour of Wiley Roots.
We got to see all
I haven't been up to either.
Oh, you should definitely
Wiley
show.
Roots or Weldworks before.
They're like 2 blocks away from each other.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's worth a day trip. You know,
there's a Holiday Inn like really close to there, too.
We'll bring
like,
the camper up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's got to be a place to camp up there.
You could just park it in Weldworks' parking lot.
We're not fancy.
They don't frown on that?
I think if you talk to them, they would probably be...
Well, either that or just do, you know, Walmart doesn't mind if you park a camper in their parking lot.
I don't care about anything.
I'm sure there's a Walmart there.
Well, we have a new brewery opening in a couple weeks, too. Something to look forward to.
Where? Here? In Colorado Springs?
Lost Friend.
Oh, yeah, those guys. We thought we'd lost them.
We had.
Two years in the making.
So, a year ago, I was helping Andy do drywall at Lost Friend. Thinking that they would be opening summer of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, they're now opening April 6th. They'll have a bunch of fun stuff on. I had a chance to try their honey wheat. I had a chance to try their Vienna Lager, their ESB.
I know he had a good rye something that he brought on the show ages ago when they were
know.
First.
I don't know if
the
they're
process.
Gonna. I don't know if they're gonna have the rye on yet. Okay. So. one of the things that I've talked to Andy about, and I won't go too far into it because I want him to talk about it if he ever will come back on the show if he has time, is the brew system they have is this new system that a lot of these guys are using right now, which is essentially like a commercial brew in a bag system. Well, FYI to anybody looking at open brewery, don't buy these systems. Your efficiency will be super low. You won't be able, there's not enough space because it's a brew in a bag system. There's not enough space to brew a big beer because you have a limited grain capacity. And it's a basket, so you have to winch up to pull up, you know, to drain your liquid out of. And so it's just a bugger, and he's figured out a way to get good efficiency out of it, but it's taking a lot of time. I know Elizabeth Brewing has the same system. 1876 has the same system. Lost Friend has the same system. So we'll see how those, you know, how all those guys do. I know 1876 had a little bit of a, you know, a false start, and now it seems like they're doing well now. I haven't been there. Have you guys, either of you guys been to 1876?
Have not.
No. I've been trying to get them on the podcast for 2 months, and they've basically ignored me. So
they're not, I mean, they're not on social media much. They're not, you know, they didn't really say much about being reopened. And even then, things have been really sketchy about their hours being on or not, you know, which day they're open versus not. It's weird.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it at that.
That is a very good way to put it. I heard from somebody that they had 1,000 pints available to sell on opening day, which seems a lot less than what you should have.
Yeah.
But
grossly ill-informed is the way I would describe that. I mean,
you know, it's
the
it's,
booze hounds in Colorado Springs demand more than that. Let's be honest.
Thirsty crowd.
We are thirsty, and that's the thing is that you know, it's nothing to their, you know, it's really more just like to the detriment of people that are trying to go there after, you know, after the big craze went by. So
well, there was definitely a lot of people that was disappointed because they were closed.
And that's...
Like, I'm not one to necessarily go to opening night of anywhere because I try to avoid the crowds. I don't want to wait in line. I'll wait it out a week or whatever, but...
But at the same time, you don't want that kind of negative press to surround your opening, so to speak.
I mean, you say, you can't come in for another week or
so.
I would anyways. 2 weeks.
You don't want to seem so ill-prepared to open that you are drank out of your supply within hours. And that's what happened with them.
And they had a small, like a somewhat small offering to begin with, too.
Right, but you weren't ready to open, is what that boils down to. So, anyway, I'll get off my soapbox.
It happens. They are open now, I think. But the question is what does that do to their, you know, to their potential sales?
Yeah.
You know, open and then close for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'll stop in there at some point.
We've always you know, said that it's great to run out of beer when you are, you know, grand opening. It's great to do that. But you also want to have beer ready to go for that next day. So, yeah, if you run out of the beer that's available, ready for that day, but you're like, well, we're kegging off, you know, we're kegging up beer tomorrow that can be served tomorrow, that's great too. So you got to, there's a lot of planning ahead on things. So I wonder what happened there. I don't know totally.
That's the first time I've seen that happen, personally.
Well, yeah. And with so many of the openings here in Colorado Springs recently, like with Cerberus opening up, even Brass reopening, Metric, all these places, all Metric, places. All these places, they've really done a good job making sure that they're hitting the ground running. Yeah. And
even Metric, who thought they were really ahead of the game, ran out of beer relatively quickly and found themselves behind the game. And I feel like that happens a lot too, where it is, no matter how prepared you think you are.
They've got a different situation though.
Well, they've got a smaller system and all that, and I understand
they
that.
They tap directly from the fermenters.
Right. And
or not from the fermenters, but from...
The bright tanks.
The bright tanks, yeah.
Yeah,
they have serving vessels.
Yeah, and that's understandable, but, you know, it's...
But they've managed it well. I mean, they... I hate to say, but they didn't close for 2 weeks.
They didn't have to close, but they were definitely on a very limited selection. You know,
it's a
couple days after they opened up because they.
If they listen to this or they've heard it, they're going to hear it from not just us. You know,
I'm sure this is not the first time.
No, and it's just as a craft beer consumer in this town, it's sort of a bummer because it has a little bit of a black mark on our community as well. It's like, oh, a new brewery opened. Oh, they're not ready for it. It's like.
And then you kind of move on.
But do you want to have so many gallons of a of a hazy IPA that people don't drink through fast enough to the point where it starts to get a little past prime. And
then, that's the fine balance. But yeah. I don't think anyone ever has to worry about people here drinking out of.
Well, so that's the funny thing is that there was a brewery in town that closed right before Brass bought all of their production equipment. We don't name the name. It has three S's in it. But you know, from what I've heard, they brewed too much beer right off the get-go without making sure that it was totally up to snuff.
Yeah, and they had a couple quality issues to
and
start
so on. When the same beer is on tap, when you open in July and you go in again 6 months later and it's the same exact batch of beer, it's tough. And so for these guys that have a smaller system, like I think 1876 has a with the system, it's like a 2-2 barrel, so it's a 4-barrel, but they can brew 2 barrels at a time, or in 2 vessels they can do 4 barrels. It's actually a good situation for them to be in because the next beer coming out will be fresh. It's not going to be something that's sitting. Mm-hmm. It's not like they
have the option to potentially improve their recipes.
Improve, change things, go, oh, you know what, this one sold well, but maybe it didn't sell as well as we wanted it to. Let's change it up and add fruit to it, or let's do something completely different. And so it gives them the opportunity to at least try something. Whereas if a brewery makes way too much beer right off the get-go and still has some of that left over... I know Brass, when Brass took over, they were actually going to retail spaces trying to get the kegs back that they had bought, part of the purchase. People were still serving it like a year later, pale ales, a year later afterwards. And they've got it all back now, but they're still, you know, it's a bummer. And...
But they've thrived.
So Lost Friend has seen that and gone, all right, we're not going to do that. We are brewing like a storm, and we're going to make sure things are good.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you can learn from not even others' mistakes, but just others' shortcomings and what they've learned. And we have such a great community here that if you need help, people ask.
And usually people help. The hardest thing is seeing people not ask. Yes. Especially in the brewing side of things, there's a lot of breweries, they're scared to ask, and it's like you gotta just say something because
swallow your pride, admit you may not know something. It's fine. Everyone's willing to help you out.
Yep. So, all right. Is that it?
Have we rambled enough?
We've rambled a while.
I think that might be it.
Oh, people, sorry if you made it this far. Go to Colorado Pint Day. I think this will come. I'm going to probably.
It's Wednesday the 20th.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah.
It might be today when this comes out.
Happy Colorado Craft Beer Week. American Craft Beer Week is coming in May, which I think starts or ends with that
it's
big
like
brew day.
After National Homebrew Day, which is May the 4th. Be with you. And if you want to come watch a bunch of idiots in Star Wars garb. Brewing beer will be at Pike's Peak that morning of May 4th.
They're moving their LARPing seminar from the park over to the brewery.
Yeah, lightsaber duels will be probably not happening.
What time does it start?
You know they're going to happen.
Probably. Yeah, I want to say 9 a.m., but I'm not 100% positive.
You always say 9 a.m., and then it's like we're always there at like 6, the crack of dawn.
Yeah.
Waiting for for things to get up to like... temperature.
We got people who show up at 8 and set up awnings and get all their brew stuff because they want to like stake out a good place. Because usually on early May Saturdays, you know, the rain rolls in at about 1 or 2 o'clock, and if you don't have an awning up, you're going to get a little damp.
You also want to try to be the first one to get your wort so that you can finish first and get to the chilling first.
Yeah, that's the bad thing about getting all of your wort at once. Everyone needs the chillers at the same time.
And there's a hose with like 10 splitters on it.
Yeah.
And if you're the one that you hook it up, you're like, there's no flow. You're like, oh, it's because it's on a Y there that goes to another Y, to a four-way, to another Y. Yeah.
Or even better was the one time I hooked mine up. starts chilling, and then all of a sudden I come back, and it's like, why is my temperature going up? Someone had spliced in behind me and was pumping hot water through my chiller. Come on, guy.
Homebrewers.
Yeah, not the most attentive. It's like they've been drinking or something.
All day that day, pretty much. I don't know how people get home after that day.
Yeah.
I think Darcy had to drive me last time.
I think he needs like a specific like Lyft or Uber code for that day.
Should look into that.
But you have all your equipment though too. That's tough to take a Lyft.
Uber XL.
There you go. Just pack all your equipment in your car. Park it there at the brewery. Uber home, come back and get it later.
Oh, that's true. That's
you can at least load a car with your crap. You're good.
Oh. Is there any... Are we missing anything? There's got to be something we're missing.
CBC.
Oh, yeah. Craft Brewers Conference comes up in, like, 3 weeks. April 8th to 10th, I think.
Yep.
Are you going?
I'm going to try to have a day or two of it. We'll see how it all shakes out.
Being in Denver, we're like, no one cares. It's like, eh, I'm going to go up to it.
Yeah. I'd love to be there for the whole thing.
You got past it.
Take all that time.
We're working on it. It's fun, but it's also... Have a Patreon
somewhere.
Actually, we're working on.
If you like what you're doing, if what we're doing, if you want to tell us, make them shorter, make them longer, give us other advice.
Or if you want to be a guest on the show.
Yeah, it's a funny come on here.
Or bring that beer.
Or bring your beer. Anyways, thanks a lot. Thanks, Katie, for being on.
Cheers, y'all.
See ya.
Cheers.